first started at 44th and Paulina, and once the building was filled, people thought, hey, why do we want to reach more people? Well, that's like the shoe telling the foot how big it should grow.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, this is Mark Jobe. Maybe you've listened to Straight Talk for some time now, and you've heard the teaching, and it's encouraged your heart, and it has spoken to your soul, but you have never made a clear, intentional decision to become a full-fledged follower of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a difference between being a sympathizer and being someone that's a fully committed disciple. The difference is that a sympathizer likes the words, enjoys the teaching, sympathizes with Jesus, but hasn't crossed the line to say, I'm committed more than just a sympathizer. The Bible's really clear about it. It's an act of the will and an act of faith that releases the power of the Holy Spirit and the work of Jesus into our life. There's no magic prayer, although a prayer in faith can mark the beginning of our conversion. It's us being willing to acknowledge that we cannot save ourselves, that we have sinned, that we have violated God's law, that we have made mistakes against God, and that we need those to be cleansed in our life. It's also a willingness to believe and say, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross, that you sacrificed yourself for me, and I believe that you have the power to cleanse me. The Bible tells us that when in faith we repent, we acknowledge our sin, and we embrace that Jesus will be our Savior and Lord, bow our knee and yield our will, that at that moment in time, truth mixes with faith, releases the Holy Spirit into our life, and the Bible refers to it as being born again or being a new creation or a new creature. Once you've made that decision, then you need to make sure that you plug into a community of faith. You need to find a church and plug into that church. You need to get baptized as a sign of your following Jesus Christ, and you need to begin to grow in your walk with God. That's what it means to be a disciple. So if you've never made that decision, then I urge you, I encourage you, don't let this day go by without making sure that you make that decision before God. And if you do make that decision listening to this broadcast, why don't you email me and let me know, hey, Mark, I was listening to your broadcast. This is the decision that I've made. We'd love to encourage you and send you some material to get started in your walk in God.
Thanks, Pastor Mark. Well, tonight on Straight Talk, everybody, Mark is going to conclude our series called Rise, Live Your Best Life, with his message called Confidence. Tonight, let's take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 30 as we join Pastor Mark for tonight's Straight Talk.
And there are certain things, folks, that you need to come into the presence of God and make sure that it's God that's leading you. Is this just a good idea or is this God? And sometimes you have to wrestle through that. And sometimes you have to talk to other spiritual leaders around you. And sometimes you have to spend some time in prayer and maybe fasting and confirm it by the word of God. But once you know clearly that it's God, then you better get up and do something about it and not waste any more time. There's a confidence that comes from knowing I've sought God and God has given me a clear direction and a clear word. The second thing I want you to understand is that confident people discover a clear purpose. You see, confident people gain their confidence by God. They need to go to God. That's where our confidence comes from. It's not in your ability. It's not in your gifting. It's not how God has wired you. Your greatest confidence comes knowing that God is with you and knowing that God has called you. But there's a confidence that comes when we know our purpose. Notice what it says in verse 9. And so after God had spoken to him and said, pursue, certainly you will overtake them and succeed in the rescue. Verse 9, David and 600 men with him came to Bezor Ravine, where some stayed behind, for 200 men were there too exhausted to cross the ravine. But David and 400 men continued the pursuit. And they found an Egyptian in the field. They brought him to David, gave him some water, gave him some cakes of pressed figs, two cakes of raisins. He ate it and was revived. And then basically he told them where the enemy was. And the Bible says that they raided them and went to the party, pursued them. Now look at verse 16. It says, he led David down where they were scattered along the countryside, eating and drinking and reveling because of the great amount of plunder they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from Judah. David fought them from dusk until the evening of the next day, and none of them got away except 400 young men who rode off on camels and fled. So once David had sought God and found his strength in God, then God gave a clear purpose to David's life, a clear mission: pursue them, take them back, I am with you. I believe a lot of people lack confidence because they don't have a real clear sense of what they should be doing in life or what their call is in life. I believe that a lot of people lack confidence because they're foggy about what their purpose is. And I believe that there's a sense of confidence that comes when we start to understand what our purpose is, what God has called us to. What is our mission? Listen, if you're a husband and a father here today, let me say that's part of your mission already. That part of your call is to be a husband and a father to your children, and you need to take that seriously. That's a clear call and a clear mission. But there are things beyond just our family relationship, and I believe that there's a place and time where we need to come before God, and we need to understand how God has wired you, how God has gifted you. What are the burdens of your heart? What is it that God wants to do with your life? Listen, you're more than just a guy that goes to work and gets a paycheck so he can get a bigger house and a better car and retire and spend 20 years sitting on the beach in Florida. Your life is bigger than that. There's something more to it than that. Your life has significance beyond just let me climb the corporate ladder and get ahead and take a couple nice vacations. Your life is much bigger than that. God has a purpose that is much deeper than that for you. It's a purpose that God has planned for you, designed for you. God has a purpose and a plan for your life, and it's not just to waste your life. Oh, God may want to prosper you. Oh, God may want you to succeed. And I'm not saying that God doesn't want you to be the owner of the company that you're working at one day, but I want to tell you something, that God's purpose and his plan for your life is bigger than making money. It's bigger than just being comfortable. God has a purpose and a plan for you that you need to begin to learn to discover, every single one of you. You say, well, Mark, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a missionary, it doesn't matter. God has a purpose and a call on your life. Tell the person beside you, God has a purpose and a call on your life. You say, well, I don't know what it is. Well, you don't have to know right now, but it doesn't change the fact that God's got a purpose and a call. He's got a purpose and a call. And when you begin to discover that purpose and call, it gives you a new sense of confidence. Because it allows you to say no to certain things and yes to other things, because you know what you're called to do. It's a bigger purpose. It's a higher purpose. I believe especially, everybody needs to understand this, but I'm especially concerned about men in our society. Because I run into a lot of men that seem to have very little sense of purpose and destiny. Very little sense of call on their life. They've lost that sense of, I believe that my life has significance, some transcendent significance in my life. And they've sort of, I see a lot of men that are content with having a change in their life and drinking Dunkin' Donut coffee that dribbles on their Potbelly t-shirt as they watch reruns of I Love Lucy. And I've seen too many men that seem to be content to live that way. Let me tell you, men, wake up, wake up, wake up. God got a purpose and a call for your life. God God wants to stir some men out of their reluctant, half-lazy state. And God wants to stir you up to lead your home and lead your family. Take initiative in your marriage. Look at your kids. Do something with the talent and ability that God has given you. Don't be lured and put asleep by passivity. God has a purpose and a call for your life. I believe it. I believe churches suffer the same thing, that they lack a lack of clarity in what God has called them to do. And oftentimes people come together and they just kind of come together out of a sense of, well, we're just supposed to go to church on Sunday morning, but there's a lack of a clear mission, a lack of a clear purpose. And so people show up in a building without much expectation, just out of rote or tradition or repetition, but they don't have a real sense. I run into churches that don't have a real sense of vision, a real sense of clarity or mission as to what they're called to do. And when there's no clear sense of mission and call, the Bible says without a vision, people perish. Without a vision, we sort of just go through the motions of things. But when the church begins to discover its purpose and its mission, listen, our purpose is not just to hang out once in a while and sing some nice diddly songs and raise our hands and have little goosebumps down our and get a good feeling. Our mission is much bigger than that. It's much bigger. In fact, Jesus gave us our mission in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In other words, our mission is that we are to overflow to our communities. We are to take the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. We are to be filled with the power of Jesus inside of us. And we as a community of faith need to rise up to begin to be salt and light around us. We are a transformation power, taking people that are dysfunctional, lost, have issues, and bringing them into a right life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ that begins to change families and marriages and neighborhoods and communities and cities by the power of God. And it brings honor and glory to Jesus Christ. That's why we're very intentional about what we go about doing. And some people have asked us, when we first started at 44th and Paulina, once the building was filled, people thought, hey, why do we want to reach more people? Well, that's like the shoe telling the foot how big it should grow. I have kids and they grow out of their shoes fast. I don't tell my 8-year-old son, hey, I bought you, hey, let your foot stick in that shoe there. I don't need to buy you more shoes. Just, hey, shoes are expensive. No.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Confidence, which is from our series called Rise, Live Your Best Life. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We are in the book of 1 Samuel. We're in chapter 30. Tonight's Straight Talk is called Confidence.
We believe that there's a lot of people that God has called us to reach. We believe in making disciples and reproducing communities of faith. And our mission and our goal is not done until the city experiences the life-changing power of Jesus Christ in every arena of this city. It's not finished until that time is accomplished. And we have not yet gotten there. And so I hope that as you come, even come to church, that your heart will be stirred beyond just being a pew warmer, that you will begin to discover that God has given you gifts and a call, and that you can begin to rise up and fulfill your call. But confidence comes through a clear sense of mission. David began to pursue these people because he felt like God had given them a clear sense of mission as to what he should do, and God gave him success in his mission. Notice what it tells us in the following verses, which leads me to my third point here. Confident people are not threatened by others. Notice that David goes out and God gives him victory. even though he's outnumbered, he goes out and they have this incredible mighty victory and they're able to overcome the Amalekites and they take back their wife and children and all of their possessions and all of their plunder. But there was a little problem here. Some of the soldiers that had gone out originally with David, they were too tired to cross. About 200 of them were so tired that they stayed out. They stayed back with the supplies. And the Bible tells us that after those 400 men went and they battled and they fought and they won the victory, that when they came back, they told David, hey, these men that stayed behind, they shouldn't get any of the plunder. Give them their wives and their kids, but they didn't fight the battle like we fought the battle. You know, there's something about insecurity that doesn't like to share. You see, insecure people don't like to share. They like to get it all for themselves. They don't like to share the glory, and they don't like to share the spoils. And I love David's response. First of all, in verse 23, David says, no, my brothers, you must not do that with what the Lord has given us. He has protected us and handed us over to the forces, handed over the forces that came against us. First of all, he recognizes this wasn't us, this was God. This wasn't us, this was God. Listen to me, church. The day that we begin to think that anything that God does among us is us and not God is the day we lose the battle. What God has done in this church and what he continues to do, this isn't us, this is God. This is God's work, taking a bunch of people that don't quite know what they're doing and don't have all their act together and don't have all the resources, but say, God, you go before us. And if anybody can look at the Church of the Living God and explain it by man's power, this is a work of God, a supernatural work. Lives are changed by the power of God. And when God is taken out of the picture, we can't do anything. This is God. This is God. And David makes clear that the victories that they're winning belong to God. You see, the moment that you think that it's about you or your victories, it's the moment you want to take the glory, and it's the moment that you want to, that you're unwilling to share because you feel this was me, not God. As a husband, as a mother, as a business owner, when you begin to prosper and God begins to give you prosperity in what you're doing, you better make sure you know that it's God that's giving you that prosperity. And you better honor him and give glory and honor to him. Because the moment you begin to brag about it and think, look what I have done. Look how much I've accomplished. Look at the car that I bought. Look at my bank account. Hey, look what I have done is the moment you just robbed God of his glory. And can I just remind you that God gives wealth and God takes it away just as fast as he gave it. You better remember that. That God can put you up and God can put you down. Just as fast as you went up, God can take you down just as fast. So you better make sure that when people ask, how did this happen? The very first thing you point and say, this was God. This was God's victory. God used me, but this is God's victory. Amen. The other thing I want you to see about this is that a confident person is not afraid to grant mercy. You see, these guys didn't want to grant mercy to other people. When you're insecure and not confident, you tend to not want to give mercy to other people. In fact, you want to judge people harshly. I believe it's a sign of great insecurity when we are unwilling to offer mercy to other people. I believe it's a sign of spiritual arrogance and insecurity when there are people that struggle and fall and we grant little mercy, little grace to their lives and don't extend a hand of help to them. I believe the church oftentimes has been very guilty of beating people that are struggling. We're the first oftentimes to go kick them. And the people that I've seen that I've had many conversations. Anytime I find someone that says, I would never fall. How could they do that? I mean, how could someone fail like that and seem proud and arrogant to me? Usually they're proud people that are insecure, because when you're confident and you know that it's about God, it gives you a degree of humility. When other people fall or struggle, your response is, except for the grace of God, that could have been me. So people of God, when you see people walk in those doors that you don't think have it all together, I don't care what they smell like, look like. I don't care if they're coming straight off the street. It doesn't matter how they dress. It doesn't matter where they've been. It doesn't matter what their breath smells like. I've prayed with some people here that, whoa, I almost got drunk just praying with them. I'm going to tell you, we open up these doors and we say, come on in, because we're not here to judge or put down. Hey, we're here to say, come just the way you are. But listen, here's the warning sign. But God's going to change you, and we're going to work on helping God change you as well. We're going to challenge you to change. We're going to say, but if you're coming straight off the street, we need to show mercy. We need to grant grace. Allow people some change time. Allow people some time to grow and to change, because God had mercy on you and I, and God and people that are secure and confident grant mercy. These men did not want to grant mercy to the men that stayed behind, but David said, no, how could we do this thing? And lastly, David honored the elders of Judah who were his friends. And he took a portion of the plunder and he gave it to the elders of Judah, the people that had come before him. Why? Because when we have a spirit of confidence, we honor those that have come before us and not afraid to share the glory. We honor other people. There's not a person here who you're here on your own merit. You're standing on the shoulders of others. There are some of you here that your mother prayed you into the kingdom, and you need to give her some honor because she prayed for you when everybody else gave up. There are some of you, yeah. Most of us here are here because other believers prayed for us and ministered to us and reached out to us. I don't care how old your parents are, and I don't care, maybe they weren't the best parents in the world, but you know what? Give honor where honor is due. And the scripture says that you need to be honoring your parents. Honor them. That means you talk with them with respect, and as they're elder, as they get older, you need to visit them. You need to know that they're valued. You need to give honor to the elders and give honor where honor is due. Listen, some of you may be in a situation where you can no longer take care of your parents. And if your parents are at a nursing home or an elderly facility, I pray to God that you're visiting them on a regular basis. I pray to God that you're honoring them that way. Because David was not afraid. He had confidence enough to show honor. And he showed, as soon as he got some spoil, he was first to share it with the elders that had come before him. I'm going to ask that we stand right now. We're going to close our time together this morning. And I want to challenge you this morning that instead of pursuing a self-confidence, that you would pursue a God-confidence. And I want to challenge you, some of you that are here this morning, and maybe you're struggling with insecurity, or maybe you don't feel like there's a great confidence in your life, and I'm going to encourage you and challenge you to go to the presence of God this morning. I believe that God has a call on your life. I believe that you can do things that are significant for His kingdom. I believe that your life is not meant to be a waste. I believe that you have something to offer other people. I believe that you have gifts in your life. And I don't want them to go to waste or to be buried because of insecurity or lack of confidence. My prayer is that as you draw close to God, He will give you a new sense of identity that'll turn around and giving you a new sense of confidence to live your life the way that God has called you to.
This has been the conclusion of our message called Confidence. This also finishes Pastor Mark's series called Rise, Live Your Best Life. We invite you to let us know how this series has been an encouragement to you. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find helpful tools that will help you in your walk with God. If you prefer to have a CD of the message, please contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's first book, Unstuck, is also available for only $10 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations throughout Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thanks again for listening. Please do tune in again on the next Straight Talk as we start a brand new series. Have a great night, and God bless.